go. Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, there was no question about that.
No fear, no reservation whatsoever?
It was a very...
To Honduras? Oh, no.
It was a wonderful opportunity. Now, as it turned out, I did get very sick there and didn't figure it out for several months and then realized that and mm-hmm. had a miscarriage and a lot of other things going on as a result of that. But no, it was just a matter of go. But gosh, that's another thing to think about. I actually, we talked about, I do not smoke now and I haven't for years, but that Persian Gulf War, when it was that first time that you could see a war live mm-hmm. taking place on your television,
1991,
do you know what? I started smoking again at that time. Watching that got me so unwound. Mm-hmm. And then I did quit again, but not a smoker today, but
we don't judge here either way.
the way that technology has changed our lives and how we receive information is just remarkable.
Chris, I'm going to ask this question to you. Do you find now, take 30 years ago, in the early days of KSTP, when you were both there, you were really, the media was controlled through, four different channels, and I say controlled, meaning we had competition, but there's four different sources. The cameras were not consumer grade. You couldn't afford to buy a camera with the same kind of quality. You had a film camera at best, a Super 8 camera with 3 minutes. Now we have people right now. I watch, CNN, Fox, you take your pick, and a lot of the coverage they use, the footage they use, it's all from citizen journalists, or exactly. If you want to use that term. How is that make your job challenging now as a operator of a, we'll call it a legitimate established news organization, with all these people equipped with a high definition camera, cell phone in their pocket, doing what you were paid a salary to do 30 years ago?
Well, it's not only that, it's just the number of people that will be out at the scene of some story. Even the several of the local stations' professional cameras look like amateur cameras. They're very small. Mm-hmm. And so you get to the scene of something, and the police may not know whether you are, in quotations, a legitimate journalist or just some citizen who happens to show up with a camera. And it puts additional stress under you to be able to mm-hmm. cover the story when you're competing with, a dozen people who are all running around with cameras. It may be an iPhone. It may be, mm-hmm. it might be something else. But you were touching on it in the beginning that there were four TV stations, and that's who our competition was. Mm-hmm. That's the number of eyeballs were divided amongst those four stations.
Right.
And now those eyeballs are divided amongst the four or five stations, but 1,000 other outlets for information. And
instant information. I think that yes. We're a very impatient society now. We need to have it now. Mm-hmm. And I had Mike Binkley on last week, and we were talking about trying to go back to the days. Picture you go to shoot a story on film, and you remember these days. You go back to the lab, and then you're trying to develop film. We wouldn't have the patience for that right now. I mean, when someone, we had three big deaths this week. You have an event going on in town. That story needs to be on the KSV website or the Star Tribune website in 30 seconds, or you lose your legitimacy as a news organization.
Well, I was thinking about this, and exactly as you're saying, one of the things that, and it seemed a little silly at the time, but back, this had to be the early 70s, Mr. Hubbard Sr., S.E. Hubbard, mm-hmm. was all about finding ways to get our film on the air mm-hmm. as quickly as possible. And he went out to National Camera, bought every photographer, and there were only a dozen of us, Polaroid cameras. Mm-hmm. And our instructions were film the scene of whatever it was, and grab a Polaroid, because you could get that Polaroid back and you could get it on the air before anybody else. And so even then, they were looking for ways.
Blue chroma key and a slide in the back. I like when you did that. You found the slide image and you put down the blue chroma key. I have another trip that you took, Lindsay, in 1984. This is the Dallas GOP convention.
We're together.
Oh, yeah. And it was hot in Dallas.
Lindsay Strand and Chris Melvitt. Let's take a trip back to 1984, a very hot July day.
Out with an Eyewitness News team. Stan?
Okay, Cindy, here we go again. Well, the Republican delegates are just about getting ready. It'll happen officially tomorrow night to nominate the Reagan-Bush ticket. But already, the Minnesota delegation has become something of the unofficial cheerleader for a rising GOP star in 1988. So let us go over live now to the convention floor here in the arena to our government specialist, Lindsay Strand, with more on that story. Lindsay.
Talking talking about. They are already zeroing in on just who should be the party's presidential nominee in 1988. And the conservative color of the Minnesota delegation is showing once again. 76% of the delegates responding to our Eyewitness News survey said they would like to see New York Congressman Jack Kemp heading the ticket next time around.
Since the convention began, the Kemp and 88 campaign has essentially been operating out of the Minnesota delegation. Von Clayton of Chanhassen brought 1,500 buttons to Dallas for all the convention delegates. Button business has been brisk.
He appeals to the blue-collar voters, to the broad-range conservative, to the Westerner, and to the Southerner. That's the kind of coalition that Reagan has put together, and I think we have to try hard to continue that.
Minnesota delegates are enthusiastic about the New York congressman who helped to shape President Reagan's tax cut plan and now is carrying the conservative banner for the party.
Jack Kemp is the closest thing we've got to Ronald Reagan. And that's what I'm looking for.
These stand-ups are on tcmedianow.com, and it's pitch black, and you and Stan are both out there, and you're not wearing sleeveless anything. You're wearing the wool suit with tie. It couldn't have been too comfortable.
Well, you know, all kinds of things come to my mind there. One is technology is not perfect, and so you certainly have to learn how to go with the flow. You can hear Stan there saying, "What happened?" And there's the dead air, and you're just always in that ready position because you're not quite sure.
I'm glad he kept his composure.
What might happen next. But that was one of those early exciting times to figure out, well, how far can the signal really carry? You know, and can we go to San Francisco? Can we go to Dallas and make it work? And that was the beauty of a lot of the travel. And interestingly enough, I've often thought that that some of those Tea Party seeds that we've seen, they really were being seeded and nurtured here in Minnesota as early as 1984.
I find it funny that there's a clip, it's on tcmedianow.com, that Arne Carlson was too conservative for Minnesota in 1983. And oh my, how the decades have changed on us here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Lindsey Strand and Chris Melvitt, both of former KSDP and current KSDP on Flashback Twin Cities, KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman on KLB Club 1220. With me, Lindsey Strand and Chris Melvitt, the husband and wife team. Well, not quite husband and wife team. This is
we just spend so much time together that
in
we
quotations.
Just. He left me a message last night and said, "Yep, this is." Or you posted it and said, "My work wife. I'll be on tomorrow with my work wife."
Yeah. I think we got to, you know, when Stephen Sharon, you know, you guys should have hosted for a week of Good Company. I know you did. You could have brought Chris on. You could have been your...
Oh, dear. That would have been quite a show.
Could have done some cooking or something for us. No, this is great. I want to play a commercial, and this is one of your favorite commercials of all time. And this is from 1984 from the We're the Team series. I played it many times on this this show, but we'll play it again.
When Minnesota's news team gets together, it doesn't matter what they do. They go at it with the same kind of energy and enthusiasm that's in their news.
We're in it all the way together. We're in it every day together. We can't wait to
see
you. The team.
So even when they're just having a good time, they do it with style.
Custom.
Not because they have to, because it's the only way they know.
The way we roll.
We can't wait to show you. We're the team.
For some people, the satisfaction has to come from within. They know that playing hard is the other side of working hard.
Yeah. Fun.
We're the team.
Come to the Eyewitness News Team. At 5, 6, and the updated 10.
We're the team.
The new specialists on Channel 5.
We're the team.
Well, the voiceover in that commercial sure went on to bigger and better things.
We recognize that.
Made a name for himself, yeah.
There was another one, and I don't know, Chris might have some insight on this too, but there was another one at the baseball, and That one was memorable for me just because I was pregnant at the time, and they put us into twins uniforms, but they were KSDP uniforms. And a seven-month pregnant woman with her pant and my shirt, they told me to tuck my shirt into my pants there.
Oh,
and,
there we are.
Pretty awkward. But being one of the very first women in this market, Cindy, of course, as an anchor, mm-hmm. you know, was a real leader here,
and we had our children.
Marsha Floor too.
Yep, about the same time, and so it was interesting to see. Well, so are you going to show your stomach or not? And how's it's like? Yeah,
this is like the I Love Lucy dilemma here. Do I just say the word pregnant, and do I show my stomach?
Excellent point.
Exactly.
Always heard go with in the family way.
That's right. The stork is coming. You pulled a Diane Sawyer clip. Looks like I want to give a comment on that. I saw you pulled that up, and I'm curious to know what.
Well, you know, that was just in really looking at over a period of time, talking about what's happening here with women in clothes, and in this case, it was just a piece where actually it was Nora O'Donnell. This is an article that was recently in the Washington Post, and it was Nora O'Donnell who was talking about from the CBS This Morning. She went to go buy a new outfit, and mm-hmm. she thought really she should have, you know, kind of the suit with not the padded shoulders, but mm-hmm. the suit, and really couldn't find one anymore because they're just they really aren't sold.
And that's
I don't
a
know
shame.
What a woman wearing today in the newsroom, Chris. And you would be he's so great he probably wouldn't even notice the difference between what the women are wearing, what the men are wearing. But what are the trends in fashion and news today?
Well, if you brought me here to reflect on women's fashion trends, you really grabbed the wrong person. But it reflects with the fashions of the times, just like the padded shoulders and the neckties of the 80s.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, you take these trips, you do this reporting, you do we'll call it the grunt reporting at the Capitol all year round, and they let you go to the inauguration in January of 1985. You're actually at the Capitol mm-hmm. on a very cold Capitol. This is one of the record-breaking coldest inaugurations in history.
Do you remember that?
Oh, my God, that was cold. Just like Dallas was hot.
Let's play a clip of this.
For the second time in 2 days, President Reagan took the oath of office. Yesterday, it was a small, semi-private ceremony. Today, it was a festive, colorful ceremony for the public, which included some Minnesotans. However, it wasn't nearly as grand as the planners had hoped. Lindsay Strand standing by live in Washington via our exclusive News Star 5. Lindsay, good evening.
Cindy, good evening once again from a very chilly Washington, D.C., if you can believe it. Everything, as you have learned by now, really was out of kilter here in Washington, D.C., but that is not the thing that had any kind of an impact on people here today or put a damper. The big question from the Minnesotans is, what has happened with that tragedy? They're very concerned about that. They have a lot of questions, and that is really the thing that has impacted what is happening here. But as you say, the president has now been sworn in twice in the last 2 days, and still most Minnesotans who came here didn't get a chance to witness what they hope to see. Hundreds of Minnesotans crammed into a House hearing room to do what they've been doing a lot of lately, watching TV.
Well, go for a statement. That's what I'll say. When you look at that picture, I've got on the most fabulous fur hat.
Just to give the listeners who have not seen, Lindsay is wearing Alaskan Fur's best hat and fur coat.
It was inaugural worthy at the time.
You know, very inaugural worthy. And there was a news anchor here in town that got a lot of heat recently for wearing a fur hat. I mean, we're talking like hundreds of.
I now have a politically correct fake fur coat.
Oh, good.
That was a gift at a fundraiser that I helped to start.
Wearing fur has not done well in Minneapolis. We seem to have a few challenges with that over the years, people wearing fur.
And I'm not sure that there's still agreement in the world on in journalism. We know this well. We had a news director from Florida, and the first thing he said was, you cannot wear a hat outside because it'll cover up your hair. It'll mess up your hair. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's, you know, 30 below zero.
Yes.
Which now, may I ask which director this was?
Bob Jordan would be happy to tell that story, I'm sure.
But it swings both ways. Now if you're outside and it's 10 below and you don't have a hat, you look foolish. And so then the news director is calling you saying, why are you not wearing a hat?
We might wear hats this weekend yet if it keeps snowing. my guest, Lindsay Strand and Chris Melvitt. Lindsay, so I'm asking you the toughest question I'm going to ask you today. It's 1989, and you have a great job at Channel 5. Why do you leave all this?
Oh, do you know what? It was absolutely wonderful, but we became rooted here. And I realized as I met people in town that if you had a child in Minnesota, you would never leave the state. And mm-hmm. so in 1984, after Mondale's election, my husband and I looked at each other and we said, do we try for a child or a network job? And we went for a child, and we are so blessed. We have two great children. And so once we had one, we thought, well, we're rooted here. And so the best way to really kind of weave into those family years and not try to chase a job where I'd never be home was to start consulting. And it's been a wonderful journey. And I have a daughter who is a director of editorial content for a public affairs firm here in town and kind of followed in those footsteps. And couldn't be more pleased that now I have a little grandbaby here in town, too.
How old?
A year and a half.
Wow. And do people still recognize you when you go to lunch or you go somewhere, people say, didn't you used to be Lindsay Strand?
It's a little vaguer now. It's something like, did I used to go to school with you, or
where do I know you from?
Didn't you used to be somebody important?
Right. Wow.
I think that really boils it down. Chris, thanks for that candid
I'm just hearing
assessment.
This story now, by the way, Jeff, because I always thought it was something that I said to you that drove you out of broadcasting. So now I don't feel
so bad. I was trying to get that out of her, and we didn't get that far. And by the way, and thank you for the great videotape that it's the more people.
Yeah, couldn't you have made me look a little better in some of those, Chris?
I worked very hard.
I know you did.
That's trouble now. See, in the online world, your work is critiqued over and over again. You had one shot. It was on live. You thought it was never going to come back again. And now we have it for the ages. And once it goes digital, you don't escape it. What in your years of reporting, what was the best story you ever did? We played a few of them today. What was the best one that if you wanted to put this story on your resume of KSUP, what is that one remarkable story?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I can think of one story, but here's what I really do want to say about this community. I mean, my husband had been a student of journalism, and the Twin Cities had the reputation of the place to come to where people were information hungry and open to new ideas and having that interest. And I'd have to say that is a hallmark of this community that served me very well in my years. And so it's not one thing, but mm-hmm. I think people should, appreciate that's one of those things that sets Minnesota apart.
I don't think this website would work in other markets. I think that in here in Minneapolis, we take our news very seriously. We're quick to call them out when they've not done right, and we're also quick to praise them when we've had some fantastic journalists work here on 4, 5, 11, in the last few years 9 since they've become some more money in their budgets. Some great quality here. I mean, I think Dave Moore did a lot. Did a lot of work for journalism here that he'll never get the credit he deserves for that. Mm-hmm. And with the Hubbard family doing great things in news gathering,
it's remarkable. And that continues forward today in so many ways. I think now with Channel 9 News, I mean, they started a format maybe last year where they were putting the little bullets on the side of what's coming up next. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you're starting to see that not only at other local stations, but at stations, nationally. I mean, we do set trends. The technology that continues to be leading edge coming out of Hubbard Broadcasting is remarkable.
Well, we can't fear technology, but we have to coexist with it. And I think that since the beginning of time here in, beginning of the media era, radio is going to die. How many times in the last 70 years is it going to be dead?
Any day now.
TV is going to be dead. The movies will be dead. The movie palaces are going to be dead. The video store will be dead. Well, that kind of did die, but we have Redbox now, which kind of replaced it. These media formats are going to coexist, and they're going to survive. I think that even though online penetration is very high, the TV is still going to be something you flip on when you come home. It's very low maintenance to turn that on and watch what's going on, and I think that people still expect a product from TV, and it's going to be there.
And building community, which I think is, however it happens now, if it happens in different forms of technology, that's fine too. But building community and not just getting everybody to think what you already believe, but to have common engagement where you can build a stronger community, because that's how you build a stronger community.
And I think we have to get the other half of Team Stranded here next time. I think we need to get Mike in here next time.
Oh, that would give you a different perspective.
We might.
Yes, that would be very good.
I want to thank my guests, Lindsay Strand and Chris Melvitt. Thank you both for coming in today. This
thank
has been
you very
great.
Much.
Next week, we will have Danny
thank
Henry
you, Tom.
Again from the Broadcast Museum, Broadcast Museum in St. Louis Park, the Epaphic Museum. This is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond. TCMediaNow.com, and we'll be back next week. So long.